You're listening to Short Track America, the heartbeat of Race Talk Radio. Welcome to Short Track America, a national edition coming at you from our fancy studios in Ellington, Florida. I do appreciate so very much you calling and talking to Short Track America, but hopefully it gets some new information and new ways of people looking at Kenny Wallace.
I got a good radio show. Mine's every Friday night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, Kenny Wallace Show. Hold on tight.
Well, it's nice to have something with your name on it.
Oh, it's fun.
I got to ask you, Kenny, a couple things.
Are we starting an interview right now?
Yeah, I just go into it.
Well, again, tell me when we're going.
All right. You got
okay,
it.
Go.
We're going,
okay.
Kenny.
Okay.
All right, man. One of the things I want to say first up front is that I feel so sorry, in a way, for your brother. He had a trial by fire in his first race at the RRL. Have you talked to him? How's he handled that?
Well, I think Rusty, you know, is a trooper. I think he's a professional. And, you know, the death at Homestead for the first IRL race, you know, really caught everybody off guard. And, you know, I send my sympathy out to that family. But, you know, Rusty is a professional. And, you know, you always want everything to work out perfectly. And it didn't work out perfectly. And I think he did a great job in the race. And then, you know, they went to St. Petersburg the next week. And, you know, it was a much better situation. But, yeah, it was kind of a rude awakening for Rusty to his first, first ABC live telecast.
I know he's going to do well, and it's amazing that he can transfer over from NASCAR and go right into IRL. And I know he had a great ride. He got an opportunity to take one of those cars out at Phoenix.
Well, you know, what he's done is he's really studied those cars. You know, it's 2006 right now, but in 2007, you know, ESPN, ABC, they're going to air like 17 NASCAR Nextel Cup races. So Rusty knows what's going to happen next year. So he said, hey, you know, I'll get prepared. He's test drove an Indy car, you know, with Roger Penske. And he pretty much knows what it's all about. But, you know, it would be easier for him to do NASCAR.
Is this same kind of thing in the future for Kenny Wallace when you feel like you've gotten to the end of your NASCAR run? And do you think the booth would be a place you'll go and stay permanently? Because I know you're there already.
Yeah, well, I think you're exactly right. You know, as you said, you know, well, first of all, I'm 42 and really, really love driving a race car, you know, run the NASCAR Busch Series car with the AutoZone Ford and, you know, try to make some cup races with some new teams and got my dirt car, my St. Louis car and dirt car that I raced about 35 races a year. So racing is my true passion. And I think when I hit around 47, 49 years old, you know, like the rest of these guys, you know, I do want to go to the booth, but, you know, I'll tell you, these shows are becoming so popular now. I don't know what's going to be in store for me. You know, hopefully I'll be lucky, you know, in about 5 years and they'll have something ready for me. But, you know, our Speed TV gig, you know, every Sunday morning, NASCAR race day, and then NASCAR Victory Lane after the races. Real happy with the way the ratings have got this year. And I kind of like these pre-shows. And, you know, I'd love to do the booth if they'd have me.
Well, I tell you what, the pre-shows are awesome. You guys put out so much information, and people don't realize, because it's done in such a sometimes humorous and informative way, that they just get the information, and then they don't realize they've actually learned something.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. What would happen if you had a normal magazine show where everybody was reporting on everything very seriously? It would be a little bit dull. And, you know, sometimes when you report on things, you know, very dull, it becomes boring and people want to change the channel. So we've got some great producers, you know, and for example, in Atlanta about 3 weeks ago, you know, we had Chris Long. His nickname is Muscles. He runs the show there for NASCAR Race Day, and he put us in some garb, I guess you could say. Myself and Jimmy Spencer, we pretended, you know, we were judges, and I was representing Kyle Busch, and of course Jimmy Spencer was representing Tony Stewart, so things like that make it interesting. But yeah, we're dead serious about it.
I know, you guys do a great job and stuff. Now, I also wanted to ask you, you've come down, you've run the dirt tracks down in Florida, you've gone out and done hundreds of shows outside of the NASCAR circle. Do you tend to get great feedback from that compared to, I realize there's always a crowd at Kenny Wallace autograph session. I mean, is it a little different out there amongst the crowd when you're outside of NASCAR than inside?
Oh, yeah. I think, first of all, when I go to run my dirt car, you know, in Speed Weeks, I ran two nights at Volusia, and then I went over to East Bay, and think I caught a lot of people off guard of how competitive I was. You know, you have 80 cars show up, and I don't know what they were expecting out of me, but a lot of people went, wow, we didn't know you did this dirt racing stuff. And I said, well, I don't advertise it. It's my sanity, you know, it's my therapy. And we had a real good time, ran real competitive, and, you know, we were going to start third row outside in the A Main for the Modified Nationals. You know, we had 135 cars show up at East Bay, and we were lined up, and then they canceled the race, postponed it till the next day because of the noise ordinance, and I didn't get to go back. But I think they enjoy seeing a different side of me, and that's what most of them say. They're like, wow, we didn't know you did this. You know, you got any dirt car T-shirts for sale? I didn't know you had diecast, and that's the biggest response I hear back from them, is that they didn't know that side of me because all they see me on is TV.
Well, now, in any of your other interviews, has anybody asked you to talk about Pimp Night on the cruise?
No, not yet, but they have. They have about a year and a half ago. You caught me off guard. That was fun. You know, every year we go on a cruise, and it's well documented on KennyWallace.com, and my wife just loves it, Kim. I said, Kim, when are we going to go do a cold vacation? I want to go over to Denver, Colorado, or, you know, I want to go somewhere and do that. She's like, I hate cold. And so on the cruise ship, I had a buddy of mine out of St. Louis, and he was just daydreaming. He says, man, why don't we have Goofy one night, and why don't we be a bunch of pimps? And I'm like, oh, man. So we had a really good time. And,
I know. It's so funny. Hopefully some folks will go to KennyWallace.com, and there may be pictures still floating around somewhere. But
believe me, if you look in the archives, I've got a really fun website, real easy to, you know, play with. And the guy does it for me free. His name is Dale Johnson. He's out of Connecticut up there, or New Hampshire, I mean. I'm sorry. And he just does a jam-up job. I'm real thankful for it.
Yeah, you got some really great people working with you and for you. And that was one of the questions I wanted to make sure I got to. One of them was very deep in thought, and that was, would Kenny Wallace be where he is today if Rusty Wallace didn't get into racing?
Well, you know, I think your question has validity. I think that the real question would be is, if my dad wasn't a race car driver, would Rusty Wallace would have been a race car driver? And I think that's the only fair way to answer that. My dad was just a really good race car driver who won a lot of races in Missouri and Illinois. And, you know, we grew up every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, going to the racetracks. You know, we loaded up the car. We had a Suburban, and, you know, Mom and us three boys got in there. And what would happen is, you know, my dad would win so much that if we finished second, you know, we're like, oh, my gosh, we finished second. How did we get beat? We were all devastated. So from there, you know, Rusty started, you know, racing. And Rusty's 7 years older than me, so he taught me how to work on race cars. And Mike was an incredible fabricator. He taught me, you know, how to weld and, you know, wire. And so, you know, if it wouldn't have been for Dad, none of us would have been racing. And I think that's the only way I can answer. It's kind of like, you know, would Michael Andretti, would he have raced if it weren't for Mario? You know, would Darrell Waltrip, if he didn't race, would Michael Waltrip have raced? You know, it's one of those deals.
Well, I understand, and that's a great answer, and I never really thought about it that way, because I know that I've watched Rusty for the last 6 years very intently because of my wife. You met her, and and I noticed that recently that he is starting to become the mentor and instructor for just about anybody that talks to him. And it, and I could really see it when he came down just recently to DeSoto Super Speedway at the Atlanta time frame there to do the Race of Champions with Harry Gant. I believe it was Sterling Marlin, and they had the good old boy from Georgia himself, Bill Elliott, and they came down, but they brought Stephen with them. And Stephen was there for the autograph session and the media session with us, and I talked to him all, and I could tell that Rusty was starting to groom Stephen in the fact that, okay, you can drive the car pretty good, but here's the other side you've got to learn to be successful in NASCAR.
Well, that's a rude awakening in our sport. Everybody's like, everybody can drive a race car, and that, you know, there's no doubt. There's one thing Dale Earnhardt, the late, great Dale Earnhardt, taught me. He says, Kenny, there are thousands of great race car drivers all over the United States. You know, believe me, there's more Tony Stewarts and there's more Jeff Gordon, but can you polish them up, you know? And that's what we learned about Rusty. You know, we were a bunch of rednecks out of Missouri. We were messy and, you know, didn't take showers every day, didn't brush our teeth, didn't shave, and then all of a sudden we realized, hey, if we're going to get these sponsors to pay money to go on our race cars, you know, we've got to represent them. So, you know, there's a lot of Tony Stewarts and Jeff Gordons. You'll just probably hardly ever see them because, you know, they've got to clean their act up, and they just don't know that part. So it's Rusty's job, it's my job, to make sure Steven watches his mouth, stays clean, represents the sponsors, and that's one thing we're working on him. But he's only 18 years old, and he likes to have fun. Me and him get along real well, and he does have a, you know, form of Tourette's, and, that hinders him just a little bit. But, man, can that kid drive a race car?
Yeah, he was a great part of the show and really, really respected, and that was one of the things that I think he was taught first, or must have been, was to not only be patient on the racetrack, but be respectful, and having respect for both the other drivers and the equipment you use, and all of that showed through in just those few minutes he was there that night. Well, that's amazing.
He's an all-American boy, and it's hard to contain him.
Yeah, I understand. He was really getting after it, and they made him run pure stocks of all things. So of course they were really hindered behind the power curve. But it was a great night, a great thing to see. I got to ask you then. We get back to the racing. Looks like 2006, your NASCAR effort kind of struggling at times. Yet there's still shining moments that you do real good.
Yeah, and that's what we're working on right now with the AutoZone Ford and the NASCAR Busch Series. You know, we just came off of an 8th place finish at Bristol, but, you know, the week before that we were 19th at Atlanta, but the week before that we finished like 32nd, and it was just a crushing blow to me because, you know, the NASCAR Busch Series, you know, I'm a 9-time winner, a 10-time pole winner, I'm a 2-time most popular driver, and I've got incredible records and stats, so I'm not used to the funk that I have been in lately here in the Busch Series. You know, this year, you know, we finished 7th in the points last year, and, you know, we had like 3 or 4 second place finishes, and we contended to win a lot of races last year, and so for us to be like this, it caught me off guard. And the reason we're struggling is because we're trying to run these race cars what we call coil bound. It's a new way of setting the race car up that just hit you know, NASCAR up. It's when you take the right front spring and you collapse it and just run it, you know, solid like a railroad, I guess you could say, spring. So you know, we suffered because of it. We just got done testing at a test that NASCAR let us all do at Richmond, and you know, we don't feel like we'll be down and out much longer.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. And it must be a lot of fun to also get a chance to, I guess, 12 times this year, get a chance to run with Steven.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, did my best to help him at Bristol. You know, they lined up my points. In one way, that was good because, you know, he got to start third because Jamie McMurray, you know, drives the car, and Jamie did a good job of getting the car third in the points. But Steven showed at the start of the race. I told Steven, I said, Steven, look, Kevin Harvick's going to be on the pole. You're going to be second. Now, Harvick sets his cars up loose because they tighten up on about lap 5. That's the way Kevin drives his car. I said, you can get the lead, but as soon as you get that lead, he's going to come after you and give him room and run the race. And so he did a good job. Steven did exactly what I thought. He took the lead, but then here come Kevin. He did a good job. Kevin got the lead, and then they started battling for second place, and you know, he come up to me and he says, Uncle Kenny, darn it, I gave Scott Riggs room and he run all over me. So, you know, the thing about Steven is he's still learning, you know, how aggressive these drivers are, and that, you know, you're no more important than them. When you're 18 years old and you're Steven Wallace, everybody's in your way. And that's the way you think at that age. And it's really a rude awakening in life when you realize that there's other people as good as you, because at that age, there's nobody better than you, and that's just youth, and it's a beautiful thing, but it can get you in trouble when you're racing against professionals.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of guys on the NASCAR circuit that the times have tightened up so close, the cars are so evenly matched, and even in the future, we're looking at cars that are going to be so evenly matched, it's going to come down to nothing more than driver and crew chief being able to make it work for them, and I just don't know as to, it's going to take some pushing and shoving sometimes to get to the front. There's just no way around it.
Well, you know, I watched Fox TV last night, and Jeff Gordon was on there, just gave... You know, Jeff is of age now. He's not a young, youthful person anymore, but he's 34, 35 years old, something like that. And Jeff Gordon gave a quote that was just perfect. The interviewer said, hey, Jeff, you know, the thought is that you're so good that you can get in a slow car and make it go fast. And Jeff Gordon said, look, I'll tell you one more time. I said my whole career, my father-in-law, my stepfather-in-law, you know, John Bickford, has always kept me in good cars. And here's the quote that Jeff Gordon gave. He says, take a top driver, put him with a lesser team, and you will see results. But the other side, he says, but take a lesser driver, put him with a top team, and you'll see results also. So what Jeff's saying is that if a junkie team is running 20th and you put Jeff Gordon in there, you might run, you know, 11th or 12th. But you're not going to see a junkie team put Jeff Gordon in there, and then all of a sudden just turn it around. And he says that, you know, you have to believe in each other, because if you take a lesser driver that does not have results, the team will not believe in him because he hasn't had results. So once you start getting results in this sport, you know, then everybody starts doing a little bit better. But I just thought it was incredible, you know. Once again, take a top driver, you know, and put him with a lesser team, you will see results. But if you take a lesser driver, put him with a top team, you'll also see results. So, you know, it's kind of the way our sport is, and that's that form that we call chemistry.
Yeah, that's what a lot of kids out there in the world today trying to get into racing. If mom and dad have got deep enough pockets and can buy good enough equipment, of course they're going to run good and have a good time, and hopefully they'll get that seasoning as they go.
That's the key to our sport. They do not give awards out for being in junky equipment and doing good. And unfortunately, they don't go, hey, you had the, you know, it's like when me and you or our friends go to the local go kart track. We don't on purpose jump in the slowest go-kart, do we? We're killing each other.
To get that fast one, that's right.
To get that fast one. And that's the only way you win. You know, Tony Stewart, you know, Mark Martin said it perfect. I cannot win in a slow race car. So there are no awards that go out for drivers that win in slow cars.
That's true. Well, I got to ask you also, people have talked to me about you because I'm doing this Wallace thing, it seems, all the time, talking about you, Mike, or yourself, and Rusty, and so forth, and now Steven. How much does your personality play in the part of getting your sponsors and keeping them?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, it's what it is all about. You know, what happens is that, you know, there are very few people that can be competitive and, you know, take care of the sponsors. And, you know, I will honestly tell you, if I couldn't drive a lick and couldn't run in the top 10, I probably wouldn't have a ride. But it's because of my 180 top 10s in the NASCAR Busch Series, you know, and my 75 top 5, you know, and my 3 second place finishes in the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series, you know, and my 3 poles in the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series. My point is this. I'm not validating, you know, that I'm a good driver. I'm just saying that I've showed that I can perform. Now, you mix that with, you know, being able to sell product and be a personality. You know, I tell everybody all the time, they say, why are you so happy, Kenny Wallace? And I say, well, it's a lot of work, and you need to try it, because it's so easy to be miserable. And I say, Kenny Wallace is the personality. The Herminator, he drives his car. And that's the other me, you know, and that's my nickname, the Herminator. And I can easily split the difference, and I can tell you when it's time to act silly and when it's time to race.
Well, I understand that perfectly, because I get in trouble for it all the time. But it's just awesome to have you.
If you get in trouble, what happens is they're aggravated that you're having fun.
Well, that's probably true. Especially all the other radio jockeys around.
Yeah, that's just what they are, jockeys.
But I've been kind of blessed along in these last 10 or 12 years that I've been in the media side of racing and talking and doing stuff from Sunshine Speedway, then going to East Bay. And now I travel with the Fast Kids group and Fast Pros, the Fast Truck people. And those kids are just awesome to work with, because they're 12 to 16 years of age. They're trying everything they can to learn and get some seat time and then full-size trucks. I got a chance to work with Matt Martin a little bit. I've done some interviews with him. And then I've also got a chance to work with Skinner and LaJoy. It's just been awesome. Are those the feeder programs it's going to take to keep NASCAR pumping out those great drivers?
Well, it's guys like Mark Martin, you know, that decided to, you know, live in Florida at Spruce Creek outside of Daytona Beach there. And he's the guy that decided to put, you know, Matt Martin, his boy, in one of those small trucks. So, you know, whenever you have a famous driver, you know, take his son, you know, he's just got a tremendous advantage. So, you know, you look at nobody would know Stephen Wallace if his dad, you know, wouldn't have raced. And the same thing with me. I wouldn't have been a race car driver. My dad wouldn't race. So, you know, these trucks and things like that, you know, they started out just to be a local deal. But because Mark Martin said, hey, I'm going to take my son, Matt Martin, now everybody's like, oh, the little truck series, you know, local trucks. So it's important that NASCAR drivers with fame help short track racing out. I help short track racing out by running my dirt car. Tony Stewart helps it out by, you know, owning Eldora. Kenny Schrader helps it out by, you know, owning Peebly, and now Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kenny Schrader together own Paducah. So I think these feeder programs have got to be validated by, you know, superstars like Mark Martin, Dale Jr., Schrader, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, you're talking about feeder programs. I got to talk about, we do Short Track America, the Hooters Pro Cup edition, and we cover the Hooters Pro Cup top to bottom, and that seems to be an awfully good program right now in its current state compared to what used to be an ASA or an ARCA series that are still feeding the same, you know, kind of programs. But Stephen ran through the Hooters Pro Cup series. Have you had any time or anything with that kind of a series to know, you know, are those that good, or are they just, you know, great places to go get some seat time?
No, they're you know, I'm going to tell you what, that Hooters Cup deal, it's a really good series, and hopefully they don't screw it up. If they keep it the way it is, everything will be good. But if they try to be big time, then they'll ruin it. And that's what happened to ASA. ASA was what it was supposed to be. It was a short track series. It was awesome. And let me tell you what, when you went to run ASA, I don't care if you were Dale Earnhardt or Rusty Wallace, you couldn't beat them guys, because what it was just that. It was the NASCAR Nextel Cup of short track racing, you know, and it was called ASA. And then what happened when those guys tried running Atlanta, Kentucky, they got themselves in trouble. They were taking themselves where they didn't need to be, because NASCAR Nextel Cup and Busch and Truck already had that area covered. They went defunct and they lost their butt. Now, Hooters is the place to be as long as they remember what they're all about. And they've got a great venue. They've got incredible success. But don't try to make it any bigger. There are some things in life that, you know, are better left alone. And they need to just, you know, refine that series, keep putting money into it, and make the purses bigger. But do not run them on big tracks. If you want to go to big tracks, go to the Busch series, you know. But don't take that series and make it rival, you know, the NASCAR Busch Series by running Kentucky or Nashville or things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure they get that right from you, just so they hear it, because I'm afraid they're going to do just that, and
yeah,
I hope they don't.
That's what they all get into trouble doing. They all want to rival somebody that's already got the market. And you know, I'm going to tell you what, just look at ASA and see how they screwed up. And it saddened me, because ASA was the best short track series in the you know, world. I mean, that's where everybody came from. Where I came from, Johnny Benson, Mark Martin, Rusty Wallace, the late great Dale Earnhardt ran a lot of ASA, Darrell Waltrip. So, you know, this thought of let's go against NASCAR, I mean, it's a dream, and I just don't understand why you would want to rival it, you know, because you're good at what you do right now, and, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
It seemed like feeding it was a better idea. Let's change gears a little bit. I want to ask you about the cookie-cutter cars coming down the road here, 2007. You know more about the behind-the-scenes stuff with it. I know if I can ever get him to call me back, I'd probably get a lot of great information from the man who's running that, Jeff Bodine. But what's the deal there? Is it really going to slow us down, make us worse? How's it all going to help?
Well, I'm totally convinced it's the way we need to go. What's happening is that guys are starting to spend $1,500 on springs, and to learn how to make these springs collapse, then you got to go to what they call squash rigs, which are $1 million a pop, or you can go to other squash rigs that are $100,000 a pop. Our sport is going into an area right now where NASCAR is trying to help. And here's a statement that I really loved, is that, you know, Formula One is the most technical, they're the most technical cars in the world, Formula One. Well, you know what, they're so sophisticated that their governing body, Formula One, decided to groove their tires and blow them down a little bit. So, you know, faster is not better. Faster is more dangerous, and then you got to change things. You got to bring, you know, because we're going faster, you know, and because we've made the cars stiffer, and because we've got more horsepower, now we've had to change the racetracks. Now we got softer walls, you know, now we got Honda devices. And all of it's a good ideal, but we didn't have these problems when we were running slower. So what they said, look, we got to govern this. You know, we're not going to make IROC cars, because, first of all, IROC cars are all the same. You cannot adjust them, okay? When you jump into an IROC car, you're not allowed to adjust it. Now, the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series, all they're saying is, look, here's the specs. You can run whatever shock, springs, spoiler angle. You know, we'll give you three gears. You know, you can run different A-frame lengths. You can make your own motor. So when people say, you know, the car of tomorrow is an IROC car, they're definitely, you know, wrong, because, you know, for example, this week in Martinsville, there was, what, you know, 15, 16 cars on the lead lap. Everybody else got lap, things like that. So, you know, they've got to get $1 million out of the the bush steers. Right now, if you want to run the bush steers, you know, you better have a $5 million sponsor. And what's happened is the NASCAR Nextel Cup cars are coming over to the bush series, the teams, not the drivers. And that's killing the sport because they're using the bush series as a test avenue. The car tomorrow is low, this incredible progress down. And, you know, we're not taking technology out. We're just slowing it down because it's getting out of hand. You know, right now we got the biggest sponsors in the United States sponsoring the cars. And, you know, we got the championship driver like Matt Kenseth having to run 3 and 4 different sponsors because it's becoming, you know, so expensive. And we've got to make sure that we keep different car owners in the sport. We cannot allow 6 to 8 car owners to have all the cars because once we only have 4 to 6 car owners, we become IRL and the owners control the whole sport. The worst thing NASCAR can have happen to them is only 6 owners. And if you give 6 owners, if you give them 4 teams apiece, you're looking at a lot of cars with only 6 car owners. And so this is what they're doing. This is one way to slow, you know, everybody down.
I know it's all going to work out in the end and help make it bigger and better. I just hope it hangs on long enough that my kids can enjoy it just like I want.
Here's the thing. When was the last wrong decision NASCAR made? That's the problem we have. You know, then guys, as soon as they make me and you mad, as soon as, you know, the best thing about NASCAR is they're a water cooler debate. We can always debate. They're like the government, you know. But darn it, you know, I knew that Race for the Chase was going to be a bad deal, and darn it, it ended up being a good deal, you know. And I knew this stupid soft walls, what are they doing? And ended up being the greatest invention ever. So I think we got to wait for NASCAR to mess up first, you know. Now, as far as running the show and backflagging people and, you know, did they find this guy enough? You know, that's a complete different situation. But NASCAR doesn't mess up that much, so let's wait for them to mess up. You know, and then we'll get them. But right now, they're pretty darn good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to save a couple of questions for next time. Maybe I'll get a chance to talk to you again because I don't want to just wear you out with them because I had a bunch of them for you. But I do appreciate so very much you calling and talking to Short Track America because it not only adds some validity to the show, but hopefully it gets some new information and new ways of people looking at Kenny Wallace.
Well, you know the way I do it, baby. I'm from the STL, St. Louis, Missouri. You know what I'm saying? I call up Short Track America and I say, let's talk racing because I put my Short Track car on the cushion, you know what I mean? I'll come down to the East Bay, you know, that old ocean come in, and then I have to put it on the bottom, soak up a little bit down there, but you know the way I do, you know, that's the way I roll, baby.
You've got to be probably the only guy in NASCAR that realizes you got to run the bottom of East Bay Raceway Park because the tide comes in.
Oh, yeah, that's because I'm a racer.
Well, I don't know. I guess Schrader knows it by now.
But that's one thing I don't want people to know about me is that I'm a racer. By God, let me sneak up on you and take the trophy away. Come on.
That's it, man. Well, you keep having fun out there racing, okay? We'll keep having fun right along with you, all right?
All right, guys. We'll see you at your local Short Track, and everybody do good, and everybody's champions, and there's great race car drivers all over the United States. Remember that.
We got to vote you into Track Pass, man. I want to listen.
What's Track Pass? What's that?
NASCAR's Track Pass, where we hear you online.
Yeah, I don't talk like that in Track Pass. When I go to NASCAR racing, the Herminator drive, I told you the Herminator drive.
I understand.
I
imagine there's some great banter between you and the team.
You just talk chassis, man.
All right, take care, Kenny. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You're listening to Short Track America, the heartbeat of Race Talk Radio.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
You're listening to Short Track America, the heartbeat of Race Talk Radio.